Thank you for this day, and we thank you, Lord, that, Father, we've gathered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And we're thrilled because doing that makes you here with us.
Amen.
Father, just be glorified. Give us ears to hear. Give us the freedom of the Spirit to speak that which you would have us to speak. So be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, we got through verse 1 last week. We were moving right along, weren't we? Praise the Lord. Anything anybody want to bring? Since Clive wasn't here, you might have something you want to add to verse 1. But anybody else has anything to add to verse 1? If not, we'll move forward. So let's start there. I know you do. Why do you think I mentioned your name?
I mean, in the Amplified, it says, "In you, O Lord, do I put my trust and confidence, take refuge. Let me never be put to shame or confusion." And I'm thinking to myself, I go like this. I said, come on. We have to admit that when we don't put our trust and confidence in him, we walk around in a state of confusion.
Babylon.
I mean, you know, we don't know what to think. A lot of times, the old saying is, what's going on? Happens. I mean, whether we vocabulary actually say it or not, we're thinking it. And, you know, and how can we really have the mind of Christ if we don't rest in it, trust in it, and have that confidence in it? So I can understand where it says, I take my refuge, but never let me be put to shame or confusion. And I believe that's exactly what will happen. He'll keep everything straight so you'll understand it. He'll make a way of escape. That's what we need.
Wow, now you're getting ahead. I will be going to that verse here today. Okay. All right. Anybody else? If not, let's go. Let me just read the first 3 verses out of the Message. How do you want to read that? Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Okay. I run for dear life to God. Right up here.
All the way to here.
Okay. Yeah. I run for dear life to God. I'll never live to regret it. Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet.
Have we ever said that before?
Yes. Put your ear to the ground and listen. Give me space for salvation. Be a guest room where I can retreat. You said your door was always open. You're my salvation, my vast granite fortress.
My vast granite fortress. Isn't granite one of the hardest rocks out there? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay, as far as the King James says, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. I like it when he says, incline thine ear. You know, God's always listening to us. It's just, are we listening to him? I mean, do you think there's anything that he misses when we're speaking forth praises or prayers or just life? I mean, he hears it all. And to think that he doesn't, I think we'd be missing the mark there. But, you know, I think that listening many times is more important than speaking. You know, and I think it wasn't by accident he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. You've heard that, you know, that maybe we should listen twice as much as we speak. But I like this. It says, deliver me in thy righteousness. Do you have the Amplified there? I didn't mark that down here, but I'm curious what it says.
Verse
2.
Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Bow down your ear to me and save me.
Okay. The word deliver means to snatch away, deliver, rescue, save. And then it means strip, plunder. And then it means to deliver from my enemies or troubles or death. To draw out, to pull out. It's kind of... doesn't seem to go with that, does it? But in a way it does, because God will draw us to him and away from the situations that we find ourselves in. And when we do that, that's where the peace is, and that's where the rest is, and that's where all the wonderful things that God provides for us. But if we choose to stay away, then, you know, that's where the confusion comes in. That's where all the things that we were talking about last week. Go ahead. I know you're ready.
Yeah. draw us out. I actually believe that the drawing part of that is to draw us out of self.
Always.
Because when we need to escape, it's mostly in our own thoughts and our own motives. And we need to get to His. And once we arrive on His, we often find harmony.
Mm-hmm.
We often find splendor.
Mm-hmm.
We often find peace that passes all understanding. Because it's no longer a struggle to us, because now we depend completely on Him. I think...
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, I was thinking where it says, "Incline thy ear unto me, and save me." You know, I could see the picture of a grown man or a grown woman and a little kid. And a lot of times, what you'll tend to do if they're wanting to tell you something, you'll bend down and get real close so they can tell you in your ear, you know, because they're a little bit timid about speaking up at times, you know. And I could just see the Lord inclining His ear, just bending down, just ready to listen to whatever we have to say, you know. And, you know, Scripture tells us that except you become as a little child, you know, you cannot enter the kingdom, or you can't even see the kingdom, you know what I mean. So, you know, that's the picture I have of that, of Him inclining His ear to us.
Okay. Anybody else?
I've got three other translations besides the King James on here, and two of them, instead of that word, confusion, they've got shame. Never let me be put to shame, or never let me be humiliated. And right away, I thought of, I watched 12 Angry Men the other day, if you've ever seen that movie. These men are on a jury, and they have to decide the guilt or innocence of this young man. And there's only one that says, he's not guilty. I don't think he's guilty. And he works them around until in the end, there's all but one who's saying,
he's not guilty.
That he is guilty.
Oh, that he is
and
guilty.
And he won't, I mean, no matter what they said, no matter the evidence that they put forth, he had his mind made up. He's guilty, and I'm not changing my mind. Well, if you knew his backstory, they showed it beforehand. He had had trouble with his son, and his son ended up leaving, and he hadn't seen him for years. And it's like we get set in our thoughts so many times, and we don't listen, you know? We don't listen to the Lord. We don't listen to those around us that give us good counsel. And in the end, he was just humiliated because they all, you know, he finally ended up caving in. But it's like I can see that happening so many times. And it just brought it to mind here when I read this about being ashamed, because in the end, he felt ashamed.
And we talked a lot about that last week, about shame and confusion. The thing of it is, with shame, what's the universal sign of shame? It's cupping your hand and looking down. Well, I mean, you know, if you're doing that, you know, the Lord is the lifter of our head. I mean, we want to be looking, you know, to Him and not, you know, be in shame. And that's, you know, that's exactly some of the things we discussed last week.
Rich, this morning on the way here, I heard this on the radio about acknowledging those that have gone before us in a place to where they have taught us so many things. You know, things that we didn't really have to, how do I want to say, go through.
Right.
If we could just grab hold of it. Well, when you're talking about shame and humility, as Oscar was talking about, he could see God doing that. Well, and he was talking about a child. Well, I actually can see the older person being the one that's speaking to God. Mm-hmm. And when you're speaking to God and you're a broken vessel, I believe when you're a broken vessel, you don't talk with a loud voice.
But you talk to that microphone.
You talk to you talk to that small still voice, and you're hoping that, like you said, you're hoping that God's listening to you. But I can see a brokenness in the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And what's he say? A broken and a contrite spirit and heart will he not turn away?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Just one other thing. Two, God is not the author of confusion. So when you find yourself in a place of confusion, it's not God causing you to be there. Mm-hmm. It's you not really acknowledging God enough to where the confusion can be taken care of. You know? Because he is the spirit of truth. And usually when we find ourselves in a place of confusion, it's because we really aren't presenting ourselves enough to him or giving ourselves enough to him. And then we begin to become confused. You know, I think we mentioned this last week, you know, spiritual babbling out there, really, the word babbling means confusion. Mm-hmm. And it's in confusion. And it's no wonder sometimes that why the world cannot understand Christianity at times, because we're saying so many different things, rather than saying the things that we should be saying, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he has already forgiven all of our sins, that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. All we have to do is accept the free gift that he's already given. You know, it's there. I mean, it's already been given. He can't give it no more. Instead of that, we talk about Armageddon. We talk about raptures. We talk about all this other stuff that has nothing to do with basic salvation. It has nothing to do with relationship to God. And yet, people will literally fight you over that other stuff, you know. And we need to get off of that other stuff and start claiming each other to be brothers and sisters and come in unity, whether we have slightly different doctrines or not. You know, I heard a brother say one time that had used to come here for years. He said, you know, he was going to another church. He says, my doctrine has changed. And I thought, well, brother, if your doctrine had changed, it wasn't God's doctrine to begin with. You were following somebody else's doctrine rather than something that the Lord had revealed to you. And he is not the author of confusion, so we have to realize that when we find ourselves in places of real confusion, God's not authoring that. He isn't the one that's causing that to happen. It's happening to us because we aren't really acknowledging him in all of our ways, and he's not directing our paths in certain areas because we aren't acknowledging.
All right, you're going to make me go back to my notes. I have to get this Hebrews 12:2 out of the Expanded Bible. Mm-hmm. Let us look only to keeping our eyes on Jesus. The author is, it says, the one who began. Author means began, finisher means completed. Mm-hmm. So the one who began, pioneered, founder of, leader, prince of our faith, who makes it perfect. I just love this. He completes it. He suffered death on, he endured the cross, accepting the shame as if it were nothing.
Yes.
Why? Because of the joy that God had put before, laid ahead for him, and now he is sitting at the right hand of God on the throne. He's sitting. He's in a place of rest. It's finished. He did it. So I just love that. I just think that just sums up. If someone was a new Christian or something and you wanted to kind of give them an idea of what this is all about, you know, that's the Savior we serve, is one that gave completely of himself for us. And he'd have done it just for one person. Okay, good stuff.
I have a little comment, if you don't mind. Mine
sure.
A little commentary on this. King James says, genuine faith preserves to the end. Emotional decisions do not. Thank goodness.
Say that again. A little louder.
Genuine faith preserves to the end. Emotional decisions do not.
That's good. That's very good.
You remember what I teach you about emotion? What I always use to say with emotion? What is it?
Women are such emotional wrecks that...
I call it stupidity. When you're dealing with your emotions, more than likely you're dealing with stupidity. Because you're in a place where you can't hear God's voice because you're in a state of confusion. We don't see things as God sees them. We see things sometimes, and I hate to say this, as we want to see them.
Okay, we're back to Psalm 71:2. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Deliver me, remember that word deliver, we just gave the definition of that, and cause me to escape. So let's go to that word escape. Of course, it means what you would think it means, to escape, save, deliver, slip away from danger, to bring into security, to bring into safety. And of course, I just... So mentioned it earlier, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's a verse you all heard many times. In the King James it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And I'm going to read it in a different version here in a second because it's so much better than the good old King James. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The Message, I like The Message, says this. Woo, this is, I'll go up a little bit. It says, these are all warning markers. Then it says, danger in capital letters. In our history books, written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes.
Yes, amen.
Our positions in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end. And we are just as capable of messing it up as they were.
Yes.
Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. No test or temptation that comes your way. Hang on one second here. Okay. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. There was a time, this is a very important scripture to me, because honestly, there was a time before I met this lovely lady and other things were going on where I was at the valley, the deepest, darkest valley I've ever been in my life. I mean, I really, truly didn't care if I lived or died. In fact, one of the prayers was, one evening I just had it all, and I said, Lord, just take me. Huh?
We've all been there. Yeah, yeah.
Just take me. I prayed for a heart attack.
It was easy.
I did. I didn't care to be in this flesh any longer. I didn't want, you know, and it was stupid, and it was ridiculous and whatever, but until you're there, you don't know. And God wanted me to get there. But I said, Lord, you've got the biggest lie in your book that I've ever seen, and that is you will not allow more than what we can handle. I'm beyond it. I'm past. I forget that. It's already not true to me any longer. He didn't take me, as you can see. Thank God. He knows more what's better for me than I do for myself. And I look back at that time, and I can honestly tell you this scripture is true. This scripture couldn't be any truer, you know, if it was, in the beginning was the Word. And I mean, I'm telling you, this scripture is a very important scripture because when you think you've reached your limit and you think you've probably just come to the end of yourself, and that's a very good thing to happen. And if you've come to the end of yourself, guess what? all you can do is go up.
Yes.
All you can do is go up. And I'm telling you, we were just talking this weekend. This is the happiest I've ever been in my adult life. I've never, ever, ever, I mean, my childhood was just a storybook, Mayberry, you know, Opie, you know, existence. It was just so perfect. And then I became an adult, and it wasn't. Wasn't even close. Problems, tribulations, trials, whatever. But as an adult, this is the happiest I've ever been. And I just praise the Lord and thank Him for allowing me to go through that valley of the shadow of death, because I experienced that. And I know now when someone else experiences it, I can say, I know exactly what you feel like. Been there. When you get to that very, very end, it's a scary place, but guess what? Just what this scripture says, man. You keep your eyes on Jesus. He brings you out of that. He knows exactly what He's doing. No matter how much you've messed up, whatever, you know, God is there at all times, no matter where you are in your situation, no matter where you've placed yourself, no matter how you've messed up, no matter what. He's there to pick you up, dust you off, and get you back on the straight path. Praise the Lord. Okay, anybody else?
Can I read that in the Amplified?
You sure may.
Start right at 11. Now these things befell them by way of a figure as an example and warning to us. And they were written to admonish and to fit us to right action by good instruction. We in whose days the ages have reached their climax, their consummation and concluding period. So therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall into sin. For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience and such as man can bear. But God is faithful,
yes,
to His word and to His compassionate nature, and He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, He will always provide the way out,
yes,
the means of escape, to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently.
Yeah, I love that. I have it here, and I love the part where it says, not to let you be tempted, tried, and assayed. And I'm not the smartest, sharpest knife in the drawer, so I had to look up that word assayed. And it means to examine or analyze, and it's the way that they determine the content or quality of a metal or an ore. Now, what's funny is when I... You know, it just brought me to a thing where I'm thinking of you know, testing your metal. But it's spelled differently. It's a different word. It's M-E-T-T-L-E. And that word, metal, means the ability to meet a challenge or persevere under demanding circumstances. Determination or resolve. So, God's testing our metal. You know, Job's metal was tested, right?
Yes.
I mean, and tested. And the beauty of that story, though, is Job passed the test. And God's going to test your metal, and He wants you to pass the test. But it's like, it's just a play on words there, just the difference in spelling, but it was just kind of neat how Lord put that together. But But that's that, you know, that word metal, M-E-T-T-L-E versus M-E-T-A-L. So.
This is from a devotional book. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, thank me for the very things that are troubling you. You are on the brink of rebellion, precariously close to shaking your fist in my face. You are tempted to indulge in just a little complaining about my treatment of you. But once you step over the line, torrents of rage and self-pity can sweep you away. The best protection against this indulgence is thanksgiving. It's impossible to thank me and curse me at the same time.
That's good.
Thanking me for trials will feel awkward and contrived at first, but if you persist, your thankful words, prayed in faith, will eventually make the difference in your heart. Thankfulness awakens you to my presence, which overshadows all your problems.
I like that.
It's good, isn't it?
That is so good. Shaking your fist in my face. You said we've all done that. We've all probably done that too. But anyway, what's that?
And praising at the same time.
Yeah. Out of the mouth can't come what? Well, blessings and cursings and salt water and pure water and all that stuff. So let's not be salty.
You know, when you mentioned Job, what we got to realize, Satan didn't understand. He shouldn't understand any of us either. His testing was going on. He was proving his stabilization in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was showing that he was stable. He was stabilized. That's who stabilizes us, my Lord, is God.
Amen.
Satan don't know that. So when you're getting tested or whatever, or getting opportunities, as I call them, let Christ shine forth. Because that's what he's looking at. He's looking to smile back at you so you can turn around and smile at them. And then they go, oh, they don't know how to take that. You ever had anybody come up to you and cuss you out? And really you turn around and you bless them in the name of the Lord? And then they go, we're not talking about the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we do. We have the opportunity to do that. Otherwise, we deflate the thing that would set things in motion against us. And we have the opportunity to do that just by being established and stable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I keep on saying our emotion, you know, when you get in the emotional state, you get in the state of stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't seen anybody be emotional and actually bring peace to anybody.
If you're emotional, you're not trusting God, you're trusting yourself.
Right.
Because well, you're thinking that those emotions are going to come to some kind of good, and they don't. Okay, the word ears, I just went ahead and looked that up. It's not only just to hear. Now, this is for us. It's not only just to hear, but it's to hear and obey. So, you know, it's not just, okay, I hear you, Lord. No, it's to hear and do what he tells you to do. Hear and obey. And the word saved, to be liberated, saved, delivered, be victorious. But it says, deliver me, let's go back to something, Psalm 71:2, deliver me in thy righteousness, cause me to escape, incline thine ear unto me and save me. So that's what save me means. It's, you know, it's salvation, but in a different way than what we, you know, talk about getting saved. I mean, it's still all part and parcel of the whole thing, but anyway, anybody have anything else out of 2 before we go to 3? Who'd like to read 3? Read it loud. Verse 3.
Be my rock of safety where I can always hide. Give the order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress.
Kind of the same theme, isn't it? We're kind of hitting on a theme here. Anybody else have a different version they'd like to bring forth?
Be my rock, oh, be to me a rock of refuge in which to dwell, and a sheltering stronghold in which I may continually resort, which you have appointed to save me for you are my rock and my fortress.
Okay. King James says, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress.
Yes.
That word strong, I like that. It's be thy my strong habitation, not just an habitation. Be a strong habitation. Well, don't be surprised when the word strong means rock. It means rock. It means a cliff, rocky wall, edge of a sword, knives, sharp knives made of stone. That years ago, in the olden days, they used to use those sharp knives to circumcise. You know what happens there? You bring forth a new life in circumcision of the heart. You know, it's a rock of flat surface, and I would just remind Jesus is that chief cornerstone. That cornerstone has to be perfect, or the rest of the building will not be perfect. It's going to, if that cornerstone's not right and plumb and you know, in the right place, then the building's going to teeter. It's going to tip. So Jesus is that chief perfect cornerstone. It's that rock is smooth to set the building in place. Jesus is the rock, and I was reminded of where Moses, you know, it said that Numbers 20:11, it says, Moses lift up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock. The Lord told him to take that rod, and the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock. Okay? So, it's interesting. Take the rod. What's the rod got to do with anything about speaking?
Authority.
Yeah, it's the authority. So, take the rod of authority, and speak to that rock. That's what he's telling us. But what happened in Numbers 20:11, it says, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. The word smote means to smite, chastise, send judgment upon. Moses sent judgment upon himself when he did that and was disobedient to the Lord. Of course, we know that the rock that gushes out water, you know that rock followed him around? It wasn't in one place. I mean, it followed him around for 40 years. And we know that as a body, if we don't have water, we perish. You can go without food for 40 days and 40 nights, but you can't go without water unless you're Jesus Christ. Or God supernaturally allows it. You know, the body needs the water. You know, Jesus was smote once. He doesn't need to be smote twice. You know, and whenever anybody smotes him twice, then they're placing judgment upon themselves.
The New Testament tells us that that rock that followed them about was Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So even God was appearing in a form that they could understand later on, because he is the rock.
He is the rock.
And then, you know, when Moses, when the enemies came against Israel, and we sing that song, if I could, I surely would stand on that rock where Moses stood. Moses didn't stand on the rock. You go back and look at the scriptures. He sat on the rock, and they held his hands up.
Yes, right.
And what does sitting talk about? Standing talks about putting some effort into something. Sitting talks about resting in something. So when he rested in the rock of Jesus Christ, and they held his hands up, which signifies surrender, but also signifies a place of praise, the battle was being won. Whenever they let his hands down, the battle was being lost. So what does that tell us? That tells us that when we raise our hands and we begin to praise him and we begin to surrender to him,
yes,
we're going to win the battle all
Amen.
The time.
Amen.
We're not going to lose.
Amen.
But when we allow our hands to come down, then we start losing the battle. The battle starts becoming our battle and not the Lord's battle, see? And once it becomes our battle, we're going to lose it.
Oh, yes.
I got news for you. But when we make it the Lord's battle by raising our hands, giving it to Him, surrendering to Him, then we're going to gain a surpassing victory.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have anyone in here ever been told by the Lord to say something and then you chose to go a different way?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the same thing Moses did.
Mm-hmm.
You're inviting that judgment upon yourself when you are disobedient.
Yes.
Like God will use you in prophecy, and by the way, Paul says you should choose prophecy. Oh, no, not me, not me. But yet he says you should choose. He encourages us to prophesy. So you need to realize when God tells you or speaks to you to speak to the rock, that's exactly what he's expecting you to do.
Well, the rock,
did you ever try to figure out, well, what words will I say? Big mistake.
Yeah.
He'll give you the others.
The rock spoke to Peter and said that I will wash your feet. And he said, oh, no, you will not wash my feet. And he says, well, then you have no part in me.
Right.
So that's exactly what we're saying here.
Moses didn't enter into the promised land because
that's
of disobedience. You know, because of disobedience. Moses didn't enter in because of disobedience because he smote the rock rather than speaking to it. But you have to realize Moses was a type of the law. The law will never take you into the promised land. Never. And Moses led him up to it. The law will get you up close to it. Religion will get you up close to it.
Right.
But it will not take you over.
Right.
What had to take them over was Joshua. Joshua's name means God the Savior,
yes,
or God saves. That's the only thing that can take you over, which was Jesus Christ. Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yahshua, Joshua. He's the real Joshua that has to take you over into the promised land. Can't get there any other way. You can be the most religious person in the world. You can try to keep the Ten Commandments every day. You can try to keep every word in this Bible. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you haven't acknowledged Him as that, you will not go over. You'll have to. There has to be that total dependence upon Him. And Joshua took them over into the promised land. You know, and it wasn't Moses. The law will never get you there. And it says in Scripture, and I don't want to preach a whole sermon here, but it says in Scripture that He took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is the law. Because it says in Scripture that if you fail in one point of the law, you're guilty of it all. Now, boy, that's some pretty harsh judgment.
Yes.
If you fail in one point. Well, why is that? Because the law could not get you over there. Only grace could get you over there. Only the divine influence of God upon your heart could take you over into that situation. That's the only, you know, and once you come to understand that, then, you know, it's not a matter of all the do's and don'ts. It's a matter of following the leading of the Holy Spirit each and every day. And if you do that, that's all that's really required of you. If you never had the Bible, and you invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart, and you said, Lord, I want to follow you each day, please lead me and guide me, He would. You would end up doing the very things that are in this word,
right,
without really knowing you were doing them, you know, because He is the Spirit of truth. This is a book. It speaks, He tells you, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life. They are they which testify of me, but you won't come unto me. And see, we have to come unto Him. The book is wonderful, and it's a roadmap, and it's a guide. And it's an encouragement, but it's a book, you know. And He is the true book of life. It's all about Him. And when we realize it's all about Him, then we come to the real realization of who and what He was. And that's why Moses couldn't enter over. And we know that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and Moses appeared. So we know Moses was in the heavenly realm. But in the natural, God wasn't going to let him go over into the promised land, because if he had, people would have thought by obeying all the do's and don'ts,
right,
in the Scriptures, they could get over there.
Right.
And that's what's wrong with religion out there.
Right.
They're trying to tell you, well, if you just do this, if you just do that, and if you just do something else. And that's, it's not about doing and not doing. It's about following the leading of the Holy Spirit, having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ on that level. And you do that, you're going to be okay if you never touch this book.
Right.
There's a lot of people that just don't have the ability to read the Bible and understand it. But I got news for you. If they're showing love and they're showing mercy and they're doing things for people and doing all the things that's in this book, they're fulfilling God's word. If they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
And also, the law will get you to the Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay? And the Jordan signifies death, burial, and resurrection. They took the ark, and the Levites stepped into Jordan, and that's when the waters parted. Jesus is symbolic of the ark. So they were basically following Jesus through the waters of the Jordan to the promised land, and that's how we get there. There's the only one way to get to the promised land, and that's by way of Jesus following him. The waters that came out of the rock was also, it was compared to the waters of Meribah. Meribah means strife and contention. So how did that water come forth? I mean, everywhere you read, those 40 years, they did a journey that should have taken days. There was strife and contention all the time.
Can you explain contention?
Contention is just, people at each other, nipping at each other.
Not
and a contentious out. Spirit is someone that just doesn't get along with anybody, you know. But because of the unbelief of Moses and the disobedience of Moses, the Lord says, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And that goes back to what Brother Oscar said about, you know, the law cannot enter into, it takes grace. Grace is the only, I mean, the new covenant is a covenant of grace, not law. Jesus said, I came to fulfill it. Didn't do away with it, but once it's fulfilled, then now the rules change. And now it's all about grace and Jesus. And that's why it's so easy for us to... He made it easy. All we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and we'll be saved. You know, I'm not saying that you stop there, but I am saying that that's all you have to do. You know, speak. And then the other last thing that I thought about with the speak to the rock is Jesus said, speak unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea.
Yeah.
So he wants us, instead of to fight against this, our mountains, our troubles, our problems, the things that we're dealing with, instead of struggling with them and try to fight against them, speak to them. Speak to them. How do we speak to them? We say, Lord, the battle is yours, man. This is not my battle. I didn't pick this fight, and I'm not going to fight it. It's your battle, whatever it is, you know. So,
you know, Rich, that song we used to sing, Let Go and Let God Have His Wonderful Way. You know? I mean, them songs are, they're a sermon, buddy, if you listen to what they say. If we'll, it talks about our night being turned to day and all this kind of stuff in that song. And you know, that is so, it's so simple.
It is.
But religion makes it so complicated. And it's not complicated. It's very, very simple. If we'll just trust in Him, give things to Him, and giving them don't mean, well, Lord, I'm giving you my situation here, and then the next day you're grabbing it back, trying to make it work, and trying to, you know. Give it to Him and let it alone. Let Him deal with it. And I tell you what, we'll find that a whole lot of struggle will go away.
Yes.
We'll do that.
Yes.
You know,
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what we practice is actually what consumes us. If we practice His presence, we'll be consumed with that.
Amen.
And when we're consumed with that, we'll speak to that mountain. By the way, that mountain won't be over here. It'll be right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
The mountain don't hide from nobody. Matter of fact, it's very aggressive. But when you speak to the mountain in the name of the Lord, even that mountain knows who created it. You've got to do what's speak to it. Go through the mountain.
Amen. Okay, we'll do this one thing, and then we'll adjourn here, because it's kind of on the same thing here as what we're on. Deuteronomy 8:15, who led thee through, in other words, God led them through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought forth water out of the rock of flint. And I thought that was interesting, the rock of flint, okay? So what's that mean? Well, flint, of course, you know what a flint is in the natural, but in the root word of that word flint is to dream prophetically, to be healthy, to be strong. Okay, that's where God wants us to be. The Amplified says, who brought you forth water out of the flinty rock? The word, you know, flint means strong, robust. And that, you know, that word flint and the rock, you add those together, they're basically synonymous. I mean, that's what God is saying is, other than the dream prophetically, I thought that was interesting. I really didn't study into that, but I thought it was interesting because, of course, Joseph, we think of Joseph as the dreamer, and he definitely dreamed prophetically.
That very next scripture, we have to read that. He'll okay. Led you into the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Mm-hmm. That's what being humble and being tested is about.
Do you good in the end.
Yes.
We know the ending. Why do we struggle? Like the poem, you know. We know the ending. We know the ending. Everybody here knows that God is going to complete what he began. It's not completed in the natural yet, but is definitely completed in the spiritual. It's all, he already, when he looks at you, he sees you as a completed vessel. You are complete in him. So, you know, just because we don't feel complete, like old brother Evie, you don't look like a son of God, but you are a son of God, you know? But praise the Lord. This is some good stuff here. This is rich, isn't it? Okay, let's see. Lisa, you want to adjourn in prayer, please?
Service, a wonderful blessing, Lord, to all of us, Lord, that we may again listen.